Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, in this episode, we're going to talk about the three phases of golf, and I called it the three S's, but the first one is the swing or the stroke, which is also the technique or the mechanics. The second one is the skills, applying that swing or stroke. And the third is actually scoring with the skills and the swing that you have. So, Tyson, walk us through the first one.
Literally, I love this. I love this topic. I was just talking to a D2 college coach yesterday, and my part of our conversation that we had, and I told him, I'm like, listen, I would be a part of this problem. I said, but I do have a little bit of a fear with all of the studio golf that we have currently. My fear is that we create a generation of golfers that have a great looking golf swing. They know how to move numbers on a TrackMan or a quad, but they can't play golf or they can't score, right? And like we have to learn how to score on the golf course. So our conversation was sort of derived around that. And I think so many people in today's world were so enamored by the technique because of all the tools that we have, the video and the AI. We're so enamored by amazing technique. And obviously, the level of your technique moves your ceiling higher. If you can make your technique better, I think your potential to play better golf is much, much higher. But I think
And your floor is
higher as well. We all know that there's more to playing the game of golf than just amazing technique. And I see people every day who have a really good looking swing, but don't have very high skill. And they also can't really score. And I think they forget to train those facets of the game as well.
Right. But it starts with having a decent swing.
Absolutely.
It could look a little weird.
Yes.
But if it produces the right strike on the ball, if it produces good contact, if it produces good impact conditions, then you would say your swing, your technique, your mechanics are in a decent place, even if it looks a little bit odd.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the amount of golfers out there, and I mean, the PGA Tour is a perfect example of it's full of different movements. However, each movement inside that golfer matches to their swing. And that's where a lot of people get maybe the old swing your swing mentality is like, well, your swing, the matchups don't work together. Therefore, you cannot swing your swing. And that's why you play really bad golf. However, someone on the PGA Tour that has a little bit of a funky move has a little bit of funky move at one point, but then later in their swing, they have another movement that then sorts that out. And then therefore it all matches for them. And that's where it's like, yeah, if you can find a good golf coach, this goes in a little bit of like everyone's swing isn't quite the same. And I can't remember where I heard this one, but it was something like if your golf coach is everyone at that studio swing looks the same.
Yeah.
It might not be for you. Now, again, might be good for 40% of golfers, 50%, but you're going to come in and that may not be good for you. So just be aware of that. Your swing doesn't necessarily need to look like the person beside yours, but it needs to work for you so that then once your swing is in a good spot and everything more or less matches within it, then you can start piling in skill. And we've chatted about this before where the analogy I often give people is if your swing is like a cup and you pour in lots of skill and you play lots of golf. Full of vegetables. Yeah. Tasty vegetables. If you just do those, but your matchups are poor, you're going to struggle and you're going to feel like you never get to where you want to get to. And again, that is the first part. Your swing isn't a good spot. Now, when you go to change your swing or work on your swing, you're going to have a time where that is the most important thing. And this is often, you know, like we all live obviously in places where we don't have, you know, can't golf year round. It's the best spot for that because you can take time where you can improve your swing. But as you get closer and closer to the golf season, then it needs to be into level or number two, which is building the skill into that. And I have a fair amount of golfers right now where it's like, we are transitioning from working on your technique because it's really good. They've put in tons and tons of work over the winter into like, all right, now your time should be 75% skill and 25% mechanical because we don't want to lose all the good like work we've put in, but now we need to get ready to play golf.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think in the very beginning here, when we're talking about this technical, you know, sometimes all we need is just some video feedback and let's try to start from the very beginning and let's make sure our setup is spotless, right? Can we make sure our posture is good? Our grip is solid. Our ball position is good. I think so many people are trying to make the swing look a certain way, but if it doesn't start from a good setup, it's going to be hard to make it look how you want. And if we can do that, then we can start moving on to the next steps. Where were you going with that, Eric?
So let's talk about this. Then we've got the swing and the stroke, the technique of the mechanics. we all agree that you almost have to start there. And I'm not saying when you're literally starting out in golf. When you're starting out in golf, get a decent grip, get a decent setup, and go learn to hit the ball, and then take some lessons a little bit down the road. You know, like, have fun, learn that you enjoy the game first. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about anytime you want to take a step up in your game. In my opinion, you need to start with probably some technique. If you can't hit a distance wedge, maybe your technique needs some work. So you do some work on the technique. So we start there, okay? And we'll go into each of these three phases and what they look like a little bit after this. Then, once you understand the mechanics of it, whatever they are, whatever you needed to change, then you need to develop the skills. Then you need to say, okay, with those mechanics, what does it feel like? What do I have to do to hit a ball 54 yards? To hit this ball with this club, 61 yards. To hit this ball with this club, 68 yards. Then, what do I have to do? How do I prepare myself to do that under pressure?
Yep.
Okay, because on the range is one thing. I can do a wedge matrix and a wedge ladder or something like that on the range. That's skill work. But now I need to do it in a tournament. Now I need to do it on the 18th hole when I need to get it close and have a chance to make birdie, to win the tournament, or to make the cut, or to move my team to states. I think you would all agree it generally starts with mechanics, because you can build, in the speed episode, we talked about putting speed on top of crap. It's tough to put skills and scoring on top of crap.
Yeah,
very much so.
Right. It's tough to put skills and scoring on top of bad mechanics.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people, not all the time, but if they want to make a change, sometimes they work on the skills and mechanics. We can be short about this one, because that's lessons, that's movement training, that's learning a different way to move the club or body, improve your chances of having a successful outcome. Agreed?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll kind of skip that one for now. But the baseline, because like you said, Tyson, it improves your ceiling and your floor, right? It moves your gap up, right? Then what determines where you are in that gap, I think, is your skill that day. You can have a really good looking swing. And I've known 12 handicappers that people watch their swing and they think, wow, that's a really good looking swing. But they don't have the skills to hit the ball in the same place on the club face two swings apart. So there's skills work that you can do. What does skills work look like for someone that has done some mechanics work on the thing? It depends, of course, on what area of the game we're talking about, but skills work. Yeah.
I'll sort of run this by you guys right on this. I think this is perfect. I had a junior golfer who I see regularly complaining of sort of, I would call it finesse wedges, not distance wedges. So we started with looking at his mechanics, right? And what's going on in his mechanics. Once he had a good grasp of what he was doing and what he needed to sort of change, we then went sort of on a performance studio, you know, where he's actually got to hit shots with some consequences, you know, strokes based on strokes gained. And obviously then after he realized, okay, I can make this change and actually execute some of these shots. Now I take him to the course. Now I put him in a situation. Now, what type of shot do you need to hit here to score? And so from a skills perspective, can you launch this wedge at the same speed, close to the same launch angle to get a distance, right? And I'm always with a lot of these junior golfers, can you own 3 yardages from a finesse wedge sort of perspective? Can you got 40 yards, you can carry this ball 40 yards. You got 60 yards, you can carry this, let's say, 8 out of 10 times. You know, that's working on, in my opinion, some skill to be able to control what the golf ball is doing and how far it goes. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, 100% what you're agreeing to there, or agreeing to what you're saying in there. Most people, when they work on their skill stuff, is that it's no longer a game. What I mean by that is when you're learning golf as a kid, usually it's like you and a buddy, or you and two or three other friends, and you're on the range and you're hitting shots for a certain amount of time. And so you're going to work on whatever you're working on. But then at some point you get bored. And I talk about this all the time with my students. As a kid, you'd be like, Hey, Mark, watch me hit this driver really, really low. I bet you can't hit your driver as low as I can. And then they start playing a competition and they're going to hit 20, 30 drivers that are launching below the flag. As an adult, it's like, oh, these kids are just screwing around. And I, as a coach, I'm like, they're controlling dynamic loft.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. That is a skill, because at some point when you're hitting it into the wind, if you can hit that shot, you're going to have an advantage over some guy that can only hit a big high driver. But as adults, we sort of forget that stuff and we just get comfortable hitting the same shot over and over and over again. I want you to have fun building your skills, hitting in different spots in the club face. People talk about this into like random practice. I talk about this as extreme randomness, right? Because every shot is a bit random, but I want you to go into your extremes. Can you thin it on purpose? Can you hit it just a hair heavy? Can you hit it solid, right? That's three different completely shots. And you're training your brain into build awareness to the skill you need to be able to pull that back out when you're on the golf course under pressure. If all of a sudden you start hitting a little bit thin or you start hitting a little bit heavy, if you haven't done the skill work to build yourself out of that issue, you're in trouble. But again, that's like, it shouldn't be a task. Like this should be something fun that you should do.
This episode is sponsored by True Linkswear, makers of what are, to me, the finest golf shoes on the market. And when I say golf shoes, I mean teaching shoes, running errands shoes, going for a walk shoes, daily living shoes, and golf shoes. There's not a day that goes by that I don't have a pair of True Linkswear shoes on my feet. They're comfortable, zero or low drop, typically have wide toe boxes for natural foot movement and function, and come in various styles, looks, and colors to suit your needs or moods. Check out True Linkswear, which now offers far more than just shoes, including apparel and accessories, at truelinkswear.com. When I was a kid, I didn't start playing golf till I was almost 15, but we would do the thing where you're like, okay, watch this. I'm going to pummel this thing way out there, right? And you take a big swing and you just barely nick the top of the ball, so it barely falls off the tee.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep. That's an absolute skill.
Right. That's a skill. And a lot of people don't just goof around and do stuff like that today. And we didn't know it at the time. We were just goofing around on the range, right?
Yep.
But we were developing skills that let us do things like if the ball is sitting up really high in the rough, you almost need to feel like you do make that kind of swing.
Yeah.
Right. We were developing a skill for club head height awareness or whatever you want to call
it. Depth control. Yeah.
Club head, right. Depth control, whatever. We were developing a skill there. We wouldn't have called it that at the time. We were just goofing around on the range. We're just like, watch this.
Yep.
And then we'd laugh at the guy who actually caught one solid and actually hit one far. Right. You know, we're like, you suck. You suck.
Yeah. But that kid's going to want to work on it, right? He's going to be like, I can do this better. And he's going to start like building that skill. This is awesome. That's how an adult should be like that. I mean, if you can find a buddy that will be willing to go to the range with you at the same time, and it's like, okay, who can hit the farthest right shot? Who can hit the biggest hook? Who can hit the biggest slice? Who can hit it high? Who can hit it low? Like, this is what you should be doing with your buddies when you're out in the range, not just like peppering golf balls to the same flag standing beside each other. And then when we talk about it, like building pressure into that, play a game against your buddy on the range and do the same stuff. Like, who you have to hit a certain amount of a draw. Like, it has to start over this flag and then finish at that flag, right? Like, put some pressure into the situation so that you can feel that, because that's what you're going to feel on the golf course when you only have one shot.
It's going to be tough to have that much pressure though, just playing a game against your buddy on the range. So how do you make that? How do you train the third thing, which is actually scoring under conditions where there's real pressure and real whatever? How do you do that? The first thing I'll say is consequences of some kind, because if it's just your buddy teasing you a little bit, you're not going to care probably that much.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can put something on the line. Push-ups.
There have to be
air squats.
There has to be some kind of consequence.
A bit of money.
It could be, if I do this, I'm going to go home and treat myself to
not drugs though,
a nice steak. Or if I don't do it, I'm going to go home and do 3 hours of yard work or something.
Yeah.
Right. You still benefit either way in the end of the day, but there have to be some kind of consequences. Otherwise, it's really tough to train scoring and scoring under pressure and pulling off the shot you need when you need it and learning to score. There's some game planning stuff to it. There's all kinds of aspects to learning to score. But in this sense, it's how do I put my swing, my technique or mechanics, my skills into play and produce results on the golf course. And it's tough to train short of just doing it a lot, but that's a good way to do it. Enter a tournament, enter things where you have to put up a number and put your name next to a score on a leaderboard somewhere. That's one way to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's just golfing, right? At some point, it's you just need to go out and do it. I'm a big fan of like the forward tee challenge or Operation 36. I'm even starting to do that now with some of my students because I wanted to teach you the scoring parts. Can you get up and down from 25 yards? Can you get up down from 50? Can you get up and down from 100, right? This is where you need to learn how to score from those, you know, wedges and putter are going to be what dictates like most of like where your really low scores are going to come from. You need to be able to wedge it relatively close from those yardages, and then you need to drain some putts. doing Operation 36. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, it's hard if you're paying a green fee to go out there and play from 25 yards. But if you have a, if you're a private like course, that's a perfect spot to start, where to learn how to get really low, get uncomfortably low. Like, I can't remember what it is. Like, so it would be 36. I want to say 22 or 21 or something like that was like one of my lowest scores. And it's just it's a ridiculous number, but it's like, I want to go more. I want to get like, I want to get lower than that. And you get comfortable making tons of birdies and tons of eagles. And then as you get further back, you're still like, gosh, I really want to like make lots of birdies. And don't get me wrong, you know, bogey awareness is where really good golf comes from, but the ability to stick wedges and putt is going to be where all your really low scores come from.
It's funny. I've had a lot of conversations in my junior academy this past couple of weeks, because we are getting hopefully towards closer to spring, right? In our areas. And, you know, one of the things that I do in the wintertime is I sort of do like King of the Hill challenges with my groups of kids. You got to start a ball, curve it left, and you can take your name off the board. And, you know, you got to hit a number. You got to hit a, you know, 40 yard shot within a couple of yards, short and long. You can take your name off the board. And whoever wins, the kids have to cater to that kid, and there's punishment for the rest, and they love it. They make kids go out to the parking lot and sing "I'm a Little Teapot." And just they make it crazy, right? Perfect. So there is some punishment there, but also to the same discussion, there's also that element of you have to go out and want to win, and you have to learn how to go out and win. And just like what Jason's saying, like, can you shoot even par from 100 yards? Things like that. You know, to learn how to score, you know, there's a lot of different ways to learn how to score, and everybody's superpowers are going to be different. Maybe you're long off the tee, maybe you're a great putter. Once you learn what your superpowers are, figure out how to play the course that you're currently playing to your superpower. Give yourself the best chance. Maybe sometimes it's just not making big numbers. It's not actually making a bunch of birdies, right? That's a way to learn how to score. But to Eric's point, it is tough. And oftentimes, like, that's going back to my fear, is I don't see kids out there playing enough and just figuring it out enough sometimes, or even just regular players playing enough golf to learn how to score.
That's how I was going to wrap up the episode. I think a lot of the juniors that I teach, and probably the same with you, Tyson, and Jason does more remote, you know, online instruction, so you don't necessarily have a bunch of in-person juniors, but I'm sure you teach some as well. When I was, again, didn't start playing until I was 14 or 15, but I would get dropped off at the golf course, and this is the mid-90s, and I would be there for 14 hours.
That's right.
And when we weren't allowed to play because the league was out or it was raining, we were putting for Cokes or a dollar, or just to say I beat you, haha, again.
That's right.
We were doing that. Kids these days are, I don't want to generalize a lot, but I think this is a fairly accurate generalization. Yeah. They're in their phones and they are not necessarily playing. They might go with their brother. They might occasionally meet a friend at the course, but they just go play. They are not spending a lot of time just saying like, let's see who can get up and down from here. Let's see who can hit the highest flop shot. Let's see who can beat each other in a putting contest. Let's see who can hit it the farthest on the range. Let's see who can make the biggest hook. Let's see who can top the ball after they say they're going to smash at 300 yards. They're not doing these things. They're not spending the time, because they'll hit five balls, then they'll play on their phone for 3 minutes, and they'll interact with their friends that way, not face-to-face by saying like, I can beat you at this. Let's go.
That's right. I completely agree.
So
let's have the freedom to go explore, figure it out, and not just show up once or twice a week and expect that you're going to be a great player. It takes a lot more work than that. And it's not just your coach's responsibility to help you figure those pieces out. It's a relationship. And your biggest relationship is going to be with playing the game.
Yeah. The best things a parent of a golf junior could do is find other juniors to play golf with and make them all go to the course together, because they will generally try to be competitive against each other.
Absolutely.
If nothing else.
Yeah.
Siblings are great, but find some people that are similar skill levels that they can try to beat constantly.
Love it.
Yeah.
Jason, where can everybody find us?
You can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis. And if there's something you want us to cover in an upcoming show, please let us know. Send us in a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
See ya.